Our scripture is from Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. It is in Matthew's Gospel that we have the story of the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. And this is the story that we have to share on Epiphany Sunday. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and had come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least of all the rulers in the land of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Then Herod secretly called the wise men and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And after having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm glad that the CFX band kind of led us in the singing of the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." That song was written by an Episcopal priest in 1857. He was 37 years old at the time. He was never married, but he loved his nephews and his nieces. And he actually wrote that song as a gift to his nephews and nieces at Christmas. He wanted to help them understand what Epiphany was about. The time that we celebrate when Jesus is made manifest to the nations. And of course, the Magi, or the kings, represented the nations of the world, the Gentiles. And so he wrote this song in 1857. Epiphany was mostly celebrated a long time ago as the big event, not necessarily Christmas Day, but on the 12th day of Christmas, it was the celebration of Epiphany. Now, on our calendar, January the 6th is Epiphany Day. We're celebrating Epiphany Sunday today. Now, many years ago, and in certain parts of the Christian church, namely the Eastern Orthodox Church, on Epiphany Sunday, that is the day when the gifts are exchanged. On Epiphany Sunday, back when John Henry Hopkins wrote this particular song, it was on that day that they took the tree down, but they had placed little presents and tiny little gifts on the tree. So they would take the gifts down and distribute them to people, give them to people. They take the tree down on Epiphany Day, the 12th day of Christmas. That was the day they exchanged gifts. So all you children out there, aren't you glad that you don't have to wait until Epiphany to do all of that? We actually do that on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But that's the little story behind "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And in beautiful words. And you say, "Well, William, how do you know that?" Well, this book right here is called Stories Behind the Best Loved Songs of Christmas. And one of the things I really enjoyed this year during Advent was just going through this book. There are two volumes of this this series, the Stories Behind the Songs of Christmas. It's interesting to find out the stories behind the songs. You remember that Mark shared the story behind Silent Night a couple of weeks ago. Well, whether they were kings or magi, and by the way, magi, we're not really sure who those people were. We think they were Medes in Persia who served within the royal court with the Persian king. They weren't necessarily kings, But they were wise men. They were learned men of their day and time. They studied the stars. That was a part of the way that they gathered knowledge. Sometimes they're called astrologers, but they were more than that. They were the scientists of their days. They studied the nature. They studied the stars. They studied agriculture. They studied lots of kinds of things because they served particular within the court of the Persian king. Some people believe that they helped interpret dreams, but also served in terms of the role of maybe like priest. There was this expectation all over the world at that particular time that something was getting ready to happen. And when they saw this bright, bright, bright star that was unusual, they took that to be a sign that a king was going to be born, and they wanted to go and they wanted to worship this king. So whether or not they were kings or magi's or whatever they were, and by the way, we don't know that there was three. The Bible doesn't tell us. It just says that the magi came, from the east. We say there are three kings because there were three gifts. The important thing, though, to know is this, is that they may have arrived late, maybe by a couple of years of Jesus' birth. They were late to arrive. I got the sermon title wrong in the bulletin. It's supposed to be late to arrive, early to leave. While they were late to arrive, and though they were early to leave, because they were warned in a dream, not to return to Herod, but to return to their own country by a different route. Though they were late to arrive and early to leave, they have a lot to teach us about what it means to worship. And I just want to uplift a couple of key points. And I hope that as I do this, we'll keep this in mind for the new year. That when we come to worship, it's so very important that we learn from these magi or these kings, these people who came at least 1,000 miles away because they wanted to worship. I don't think anybody came 1,000 miles away today to be here to worship, but those magi were willing to do that. And that's really the first point, the first thing we can learn from them. They had a desire to worship. Now, they didn't know all the details. They didn't know a lot. But they had within their hearts this desire to worship a king. That they believed there was a birth of a king, a very special person who would bring good news to the world. And so they had a desire to worship this king. They didn't know all the details. They weren't privileged to all the knowledge that we have. They made it to Jerusalem, and they were searching, and they received some assistance, about the prophecy of where this king was to be born in Bethlehem. They had a desire that brought them over 1,000 miles away. There needs to be that hunger within us for worship, or worship will very rarely ever happen. We must purpose within our hearts to worship. Now, that's not necessarily based on the feeling, and that's where we get misled. We say, well, I just don't feel like it. Well, the feelings come and go all the time, okay? What really counts is what we decide to have importance and preeminence in our heart, and that's when we set our priorities. That's when we set those things up as being truly important, and when we place number one being to worship God, the Shema, the most quoted verse in the Hebrew scripture, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you shall love him with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. Jeremiah says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me in Jeremiah 29. There's a promise that as we seek, we will find. But worship truly begins with the desire to worship the King of Kings. The second thing that we can learn from these magi who made this long trip was that though they were learned men and probably at that time in their own culture, the scholars of the world, though they were learned men, they were humble. Because it says, on entering the house, they knelt down and worshiped the Christ child. Now, the posture of true worship is humility. We can't worship with a prideful heart. We can't worship when we think we're better than others. We can't worship when we don't know that when we stand in the presence of Almighty God, that God is God and we are not. That doesn't demean who we are. But it grants us the proper place before God, the place of humbleness. And here's what's so amazing. It's this great God who placed the desire in us to worship to begin with. It is really the gift that He gives us to worship Him and enables us to come to Him. And this great God loves us. But humility. I don't know it all. I'm here to learn. I haven't arrived. I'm on the way. The scripture says God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Humility is the proper posture of worship. You know, in lots of worship traditions, there is kneeling. And there are different times when, with your own body, you acknowledge the fact that you are humbling yourself before the Lord. The third thing that they have to teach us is this. It said that they opened their treasure chests. Now, opening their treasure chest, I don't know what all was in there other than the three gifts, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But do you know what that means to me? It means that when they came to the Christ child, they were willing to reveal everything about themselves, everything, and to hide nothing. All the things that they treasured, they opened up in proper display before the Christ child. Here is all of me. I seek to hide nothing from you. The things I treasure, I'm placing them before you so you can know it. The Lord already knows it, but we need to do it to remind ourselves of that truth. In worship, there is this coming before the Lord with an open heart, knowing that the one we worship searches the heart and knows it anyway. But we are to acknowledge that by saying, here is my heart. Search me and know me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any anxious way in me. And lead me in the way that thou knowest to be right. There is an opening of the treasure chest, the opening of one's entire life to put on display whatever it is that you treasure before the Christ child. Sometimes we don't want to do that because we're afraid He'll take them away. I knew one man who said his greatest obstacle to coming to Christ was his motorcycle. I said, what are you talking about? He says, I was afraid that when I came to Christ, He would say, all right, forget the fellow's name now, but let's call him Mike. All right, Mike, but you're going to have to give me that motorcycle and you're not going to ride it anymore. That's what he thought. He thought if he shared his treasure, the Lord would say, all right, if you really mean it, give me your motorcycle. Well, we ought to be willing to give the motorcycle if he asked it. But guess what? When he finally said, all right, Lord, here's my treasure. You see everything about my life. I place it before you. I'm an open book. Here I am. The Lord said to him, you can still ride your motorcycle. Just ride it for my sake. He started a ministry of motorcycle riders. Yeah, that's usually what the Lord does, you know. But we've got to open up our treasure chest and trust the Lord. And then the fourth thing, they gave him gifts. They gave him the gift of gold because that was recognized as the right kind of gift to give a king. This is the King of Kings. They gave him the gift of frankincense because that's the right kind of gift to give to a priest, one who offers up prayers in the temple, who represents the people before God and God before the people, the priest. And you see, each of these gifts says something about who Jesus is, the King of Kings and the High Priest. And then the third gift is the gift of myrrh, which was the anointing for one who was to be buried. You see, Jesus is also the suffering Savior of the world, the one who died upon a cross and rose for our sake. And so these three gifts actually acknowledge who Jesus is, King of Kings, High Priest, and suffering Savior of the world, the crucified and risen Christ. But listen to this. They gave him the best of what they had. Now, oftentimes I've thought about this. What does a baby want with gold and frankincense and myrrh? Okay, all right, just stand with me a little bit. There are truths here in this story that we need to pay attention to, and this is one of them, is that when we give our gifts, we give our very best. So often I hear someone say, well, that wasn't really a good worship service. And I think, well, what is a good worship service? Here's a good worship service. When you know you've gone and you've given the best that you have. A good worship service is not determined about what you get out of it, but what you give to it. Did you give everything you had to bestow worth upon God? That's what worship is, the bestowal of worth before God. We're saying, God, this is what you are worth to us. You're worth our voices. You're worth our prayers. You're worth our gifts. You are worth our acknowledging you as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And what we give is the very best. Now, I love the story of the greatest Christmas pageant ever by Barbara Robinson. She wrote it in 1971. It's a story about how every year they had this Christmas pageant, and the little children would be in the Christmas pageant, and they'd do it the old-fashioned way. I still love it, you know, where you have Mary and Joseph, and then you have the baby, and then you have the shepherds show up, you know, and you got the sheep, and, you know, and the little kids are running loose. And I remember we did this one time. We couldn't keep them all in the same place. They were going all over the place. And then you had the wise men, and they got lost one time. They were coming down the aisle and took a wrong turn. But anyway, so this church was having their Christmas pageant again, but this one was going to be different. There was a family in the neighborhood called the Herdmans, and they had a bunch of nasty little kids. They were full of mischief. They'd smoke cigars and drink fermented juice. And they were just liable to do anything. They scrubby little kids, you know. They were small little kids. They heard that that church was giving snacks. So they went to the church because the church offered snacks. And then they heard there was going to be a pageant. And they volunteered to be a part of the pageant. They didn't even know the Christmas story. But this person who was directing it said, this is going to be the worst one ever. The Herdmans are going to be in it. They'll probably burn down the church, for all we know, smoking cigars. And so they all got parts. And Claude and Ollie and Leroy got the parts of the three kings. And so when the three kings came in and it was time to present their gifts, what are the gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had this thing wrapped up. And they said, we present to you the greatest gift we have to give you. And they unfurled it, and it was a ham. It was a ham that had been presented to their family from the Charity Box Ministries. That was their food for Christmas. And they brought the little baby Jesus, their ham. That's good worship. We give him the best of what we have. And then the fifth point is this. You know, they teach us about worship because in worship we are changed. Not because of anything that we do, but because of the one who worships us. We need to be willing to allow him to redirect our lives. You know, it says that the Magi didn't go back the same way they came. They didn't go back to Herod. Why? Because Herod wanted to know where the Christ child was because he saw that as a threat to his kingdom. They no longer wanted to be with Herod and his kingdom. They wanted to be with the kingdom of this Christ child. And so the scripture says, having been warned in a dream, they did not return to Herod, but left for their own country by another road. In other words, they left home. They left for home by another way. We need to allow, in worship, God to redirect our paths. Where has God wanted to redirect us this year? Is there any one place we're going that maybe we need to turn and go to another place? A good worship service is when we say, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Well, they were late to arrive, they were early to leave. It's never too late to know the Christ, and it's never too early to go serve him. And that's my prayer for us this year, is that we may truly worship in the pattern of the Magi.